Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The Central Ohio economy has a lot going for it. Job creation is strong, the unemployment rate remains low, and the region's well-educated population continues to expand. But the story changes when it comes to the state of small businesses, according to a new report by the Columbus Foundation that ranked Columbus last among 23 comparable U.S. cities in small company employment. We're talking about the challenges of small businesses in Central Ohio and why the region lags comparable cities in the number of small companies. Roger Geiger is vice president and executive director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses Ohio. That's a small business association with upwards of 25,000 members in the Buckeye State. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Thank you, Ann. Happy to be here.
Michael Bowers is district director of the Ohio Small Business Development Center at Columbus State Community College. He joins us as well. Welcome back, Michael Bowers.
Hey, thank you.
What do we mean by small business in this context, Michael Bowers?
Small business, it kind of depends. You know, it can be defined a number of different ways. Typically, when you think of small businesses, it's usually under 100 employees, but it can also be looked at as under 500 employees, and for SBA standards, if it's manufacturing, it could be 1,500 employees. So
that doesn't sound small to a lot of us.
No.
And in this particular group, they're looking at mostly companies with very small staffs, right. 20 or fewer.
Yeah, and most small businesses are under 20 employees. So that's going to be probably 80 to 90% of the small businesses are going to have under 20 employees.
Don DePiro, he's the president and CEO of the Columbus Chamber of Commerce, told the Columbus Dispatch that he had believed that the region was doing fairly decently in the realm of startups. Roger Geiger, when you heard about this report, were you surprised too? Did you have a similar view of it as Don DePiro?
And just maybe if I could answer that first question too real quickly. This helps you put in perspective. We have about 1 million enterprises in Ohio. 97% of them employ 100 or fewer. 8 out of every 10 employ 20 or fewer. So that's when small business is the economic engine of this state.
Okay.
So you're right. It is alarming when a study comes out and says small business isn't doing well because every community is based on how well the small business community is doing in terms of its economic
It's that important of a metric,
It's a very important metric. Almost half of all non-government jobs are in small businesses. They create 7 out of every 10 new jobs. So the study, which I can't speak specifically to the methodology and the background of it, it is a little counterintuitive, I've got to be honest, mm-hmm. with what we are hearing from small businesses across the state. And I don't know, I certainly haven't had anything that indicates that Central Ohio is an anomaly to the rest of the state. Small business owners are expanding. Small business owners are extremely optimistic. They are creating new jobs. We had over 100,000 new startup businesses last year, a record number. So it is a little counterintuitive. But I do think there might be some reasons that small business owners, if you want me to touch
yeah.
on this. Central Ohio, there's a high competitiveness for jobs in this Central Ohio region. When you think about the fact that it has state government, it has a major university, which we're sitting in the campus of right now.
Mm-hmm.
It has several huge Fortune 500 companies in this state, or in this country, are based here in Central Ohio. They all compete for jobs. And so part of the talent pool is only so big. In fact, what we are hearing from small business owners across the state is we can't find people to work. And I think that problem is probably even greater exacerbated here in Central Ohio because of all the many great opportunities because of the institutions that I just mentioned are here.
Hmm. Does that make sense to you, Michael Bowers?
Yeah, absolutely. The 2 points. Number one, the workforce issue is probably the biggest issue facing small
business.
There's
a shortage of workers.
Yeah, it's huge. And I know that at Columbus State, we're trying to deal with these types of things. And because, again, dealing with Jobs Ohio and other folks, the businesses are just not able to find people to come in and work for them. As far as small business, I would say that in Central Ohio, just basically based on our activity at the Small Business Development Center, our numbers are higher than they've ever been. The demand for startup information, how do you start up, for financing and all of that is higher than it's ever been. And I've been with the programs for 17 years.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the situation with small businesses in Central Ohio. The Columbus Foundation has a new report out that ranked Columbus last among 23 comparable U.S. cities in small company employment. We're talking about the challenges of small business in Central Ohio. My guests, Michael Bowers, he is the district director of the Ohio Small Business Development Center at Columbus State Community College, and Roger Geiger, he's vice president and executive director in Ohio of NFIB, Ohio a Small Business Association. We would like to hear from small business owners, maybe former small business owners who found it too much of a struggle. What worked, what didn't, what matters, what doesn't when you're a small employer. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm interested, Michael Bowers, and you said you're like breaking records in the number of people seeking your assistance in startups. Have people who do startups, and we call them startups now, that's the cool thing, right?
Right.
But they're small businesses that are opening up for one reason or another. Is that ilk changing? Is it changing? Is it more higher educated? Is it better educated? Is it more sophisticated? The fact that they're even seeking help in the first place tells me of a certain level of sophistication.
Well, I think there's two ways to look at this. So when I think about startups, kind of the definition of startup and what you hear is a little bit more of this tech kind of space. So the issues where you're seeing a lot more venture capital here, you're seeing the Cover My Meds and those types of things that have been built and grown. Those are probably your higher educated individuals that are able to understand the environment and maybe have some tech savvy that can start to put these things together. But then I also look at it in terms of what I would classify as small business or small business startup. And those individuals are a combination. Those are folks that probably have education in one area and they're following their passion and they are not necessarily business savvy. So now they're coming and looking for organizations like us to help them figure out how to start this, how to build this, and what are the different pieces and parts to that.
And it's amazing when you look at startups. First of all, our economy works in cycles. And we just came through a pretty tough recessionary period where there was a lot of spin-off of employment. People got laid off. Mm. And they're not going back to those jobs. So one of the leading indicators of economic recovery, we all like to say it's Wall Street, but it really isn't. Right. It's startup small businesses, because those folks who have a trade and a skill set who are not going back all of a sudden realize they've got to do something. And so they open up a bookkeeping operation in the spare bedroom. They open up a little welding shop in their garage. That's who's starting up these businesses. Another interesting statistic is that – and so those folks tend to have a very high skill set. They've been trained. They know what they're doing, and they're just taking a skill set and becoming their own entrepreneur. The other interesting statistic about startup small businesses, if you start up a business that you haven't purchased or isn't, you haven't inherited it, you're starting it from scratch, over 50% of those people start because it's a hobby. It's something they like to do. So, you know, they're a great skier, and the next thing you know, they have a ski shop. They love to cook, and the next thing you know, they're going down in catering or restaurant business. And so those folks do need a lot of assistance and help because they are passionate about their trade, but they may not necessarily have the understanding of financing, of marketing, of hiring people. And so those folks are – I wouldn't call them less educated. It's just that they don't have the experiences.
The report said that Columbus area workers are more likely to work for employers with at least 1,000 workers. And Matt Martin, who oversaw the Columbus Foundation report, speculated that maybe Columbus is just a good company town with big headquarters and big industries based here. But when you look at compared to other similarly situated cities, it still is ranking low in that. But be that as it may, what about the competition for benefits? The issue of health care is more important than ever. And when you're self-employed, that's a big sticking point, is it not, Michael Bowers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the big things that people try to figure out. And to Roger's point, I think that that study probably didn't take into account the people that are doing the stuff on the side. And they're actually creating business.
Like the kind of gig economy sort of thing we talk about? Okay.
Something like that. And, you know, this is where full-time, they move into full-time from actually working part-time and getting into this and figuring out, is this something they want to do? And they're able to keep their benefits while they do that.
Okay.
So that allows them to pursue their opportunity and get revenue growing and things. Then they can go out and then they can potentially take advantage of the insurance.
To Michael's point, the average small business owner who starts his or her own business doesn't take a paycheck for 3 years. So they either have a spouse who has an income, or they have
savings,
or they have savings, or they are working another job and they're starting their enterprise on a shoestring in the basement or in the garage or in the spare bedroom, and they're chasing a dream. But most small business owners don't start paying themselves until after 3 years of being in operation. Interesting statistic. And you know, I think the study that you mentioned about benefits, yes, without question, our ranking of 75, we have a ranking every 5 years that we do of small business priorities. Health insurance, the cost of health insurance has ranked number one for the last 25 years. And so, you know, it is the most desired benefit behind paid vacations and higher wages is health care. So for small business owners to be competitive, health insurance costs are really a key part of them being able to attract and retain good workers. It is also a very selfish issue for them because they themselves and their families are covered in those health insurance policies. So reforming healthcare is a huge, huge priority if we really want to help small businesses. Without question, you know, I think your comment alludes to what I said earlier. When you're competing with government, which does notoriously has been known for great benefits, mm-hmm. and when you're competing with Fortune 500 companies who also have great benefits, that is clearly a factor when you try to go out and attract and retain quality workers. And so without question, health insurance is a part of that. 401ks are part of that. Paid sick leave is part of that. Family medical leave is all part of that. All of those things are factored by workers as they look for a job. The counter to that is oftentimes small business owners have the most amount of flexibility. They are able to allow you to have a flexible work time. You know the boss and the owner personally, and they know you and personally, and so there's a much more – so there are trade-offs there. Mm-hmm.
We are going to continue our conversation. We'll get to a few calls. We'd love to hear from small business owners out there about what you think the challenges are. We're talking about this because of a Columbus Foundation report that ranks Central Ohio last among 23 cities when it comes to small business employment. And as Roger Geiger said, it seems counterintuitive. This seems like a flourishing economy right now, and most flourishing economies don't do it without their small business startups. So give us a call. Tell us what you think, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the challenges of small business in Central Ohio in light of a new report from the Columbus Foundation that ranked Columbus last among 23 comparable U.S. cities in small company employment. Still with us is Vice President and Executive Director of National Federation of Independent Businesses Ohio, with 25,000 members in Ohio, Roger Geiger. Also with us, District Director of the Ohio Small Business Development Center at Columbus State Community College, Michael Bowers. Ina Kinney is founder and CEO of the Economic and Community Development Institute, which makes small business loans. Welcome, Ina Kinney.
Thank you, Ann. Great to be here.
Economist, local economist Bill Lafayette has suggested that the ranking in part might reflect a Midwest culture with a fear of failing in the culture. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't.
A fear of risk.
Fear of risk. Well, I mean, starting a business is a very risky proposition for many. But I don't think that's the case. I honestly do believe that, and I'm not going to be famous here for saying this. I don't know how accurate the Columbus Foundation study really is. You know, ECDI, we've been doing this since 2004. And I could tell you that, you know, based upon our statistics in Central Ohio, we have put out $35 million in loans since 2004. That's to 2,300 businesses. That's a lot of businesses and a lot of jobs, 8,000 jobs created or retained. So for me personally, I believe that Central Ohio has a vibrant small business economy. Local economies are very important to our society. And frankly, we see a lot of people that are coming to us that are trying to, you know, start and expand their businesses. So that being said, I don't necessarily agree with the study.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that as far as the risk piece, and again, this is something that I've heard for years and years, that Midwest is just risk averse and they can't pursue those types of things. And I agree with, you know, I don't know that that's actually accurate. I think that once people really understand what's involved, then some of them are going to say, I'm out. Some of them say, I'm going to go forward. And that's where organizations like ours, organizations like ECDI and a number of others, to really get them understanding what is the process of moving forward. I think the biggest issue is the one we talked about as it related to a lot of larger employers here and people are used to working.
Larger, not ever going away employers yeah. like state government and right. Ohio State University.
And what's interesting, if you look back, way back to the beginning of the 1900s, I mean, this was a very entrepreneurial area that started and built some of these larger businesses. So now you've got the state government and, you know, over the years, you know, Ohio State's grown, limited brands and Cardinal and all these have started to grow. These are very entrepreneurial activities. However, the people that live here have gotten used to working for these organizations. So it's one of those where they look for these bigger organizations to handle that.
You know, Ann, it's interesting. There is a huge risk factor in starting your own business and operating your own business. In fact, you fail three times before you right. succeed. It's pretty amazing. So you risk it all to fail three times. So you have to be a unique individual to say, I really want to do this.
There really is something about
entrepreneurial. There's really something about an entrepreneurial spirit, and it's in your DNA. And many times it's because, you know, it's a family history. Mm-hmm. But here is an issue a statistic that I do find interesting and somewhat troubling. Just 10 years ago, if you asked the average American, would you like to be your own boss? 70% said yes, which means they'd like to be their own bosses. Yet today, 51% of all businesses are owned by folks who are over 55 years old, and only 13% are owned by folks that are under 30.
That's surprising.
Very surprising.
That's nationally?
And I'm sure we're no anomaly here. So there is a societal challenge that's out there in terms of wanting to be entrepreneurial and all that it means and risking it all. I mean, we are in some degrees into a changing as a culture, as a society, to be risk averse.
Because, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier, Ina, about that whole gig economy thing. And that's not necessarily about owning your own business. That's about working lots of different jobs.
That's right.
And doing bits and pieces and kind of stitching together an income.
And our economy is changing so much with the millennials and everything. I mean, they want to work from home, right? And many of them are risk averse because that's how we brought them up to, you know, to look at, you know, owning a business is tough, right? I mean, we at ECDI, when we talk to our clients who are trying to start a business, one of the first things I always say is you want to talk them out of it. Because what I say is this, you know, when you work for somebody else, you're there from 9 to 5. When you work for yourself, you can work 2 hours a day or you could work 20 hours a day. There's nobody that you need to answer to except yourself. So it's you have to be structured, you have to be focused, and you have to be passionate. But passion will not take you through.
It's
you
like the difference between owning your own home and living in a condo.
Exactly. You, you have to understand what it takes to own a business. Yeah. So that's why Michael's, you know, SBDC and ECDI, that's why we do what we do. We give people an opportunity to understand what it is to like to have a business, from, you know, from putting together a business plan to understanding your financials. Because the worst thing that anybody can do is to quit their job and start a business. Because, you know, chances are, like Roger said, they're going to fail. Uh-huh. So we want to give them all the tools necessarily to be successful. But it is a lot of hard work. And it's not personal. If you fail, then you try again, because, you know, failure is not a personal thing.
And I also think that our whole definition of small business is changing.
Correct.
You know, what do you call the Uber driver today?
That's what I
you know. Well, I mean, we
they have Uber to back them up.
Yeah, but you're still an entrepreneur. The Uber isn't going to pay you if you're not making money.
There you go. And I think Roger is absolutely correct. I mean, like even salon lofts. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these businesses that are not historically brick and mortar.
Right.
That's the key.
And I think remember I said earlier there are 800,000 self-employed Ohioans, almost a million self-employed Ohioans. That, you know, don't have any employees. They work for themselves.
One in ten.
And to Michael's point, a lot of those probably have second jobs, and yet they're really entrepreneurs as well. The concept and the way we define small businesses is dramatically changing. Technology is a part of that, because you can now be an international business with a website, which you couldn't do, 25 years ago.
Right.
One of the questions is when you have these kinds of debates, are we defining small business in the old traditional way of bricks and mortar and
starting
employees,
a bookstore, starting a coffee shop,
and having employees and all that? You know, I would venture to say that the vast number of those millennials that are starting businesses, their business office is probably a coffee shop or their home.
Exactly. And let me just
anywhere where they have the internet connection.
If I may just add more one idea or something that we've seen. So ECDI is, our goal is to start or expand businesses. Majority of our clients are what you might call they don't have credit or they're underbanked. Mm-hmm. People from within minority neighborhoods, people that are, losing their regular jobs and have, starting a business is something that they have to do in order to support their families. Mm-hmm. Immigrants, somebody coming from another country. Listen, they're going to find a low-paying job, or they're going to start a business to support themselves and also help their own community. So let's take an example of two type of businesses, a trucking business, okay? We have a lot of truckers. Now, somebody might own a trucking company, but they also work with other truckers. So all of these truckers are self-employed, but my question is, are we using those statistics to really understand that is the case? Home health care agencies, they have home health care nurses and aides. They're all self-employed, so they're contractors. So what I'm saying is we're not necessarily counting all of the self-employed people that are out there, because like I said earlier, it's not about bricks and mortar. It's about, our changing economy and how people are defining small business these days.
One thing I just want to mention to Roger's point about the millennials and kind of working from the coffee shop, we did a search earlier this year, and we found well over 100 co-working spaces in Columbus.
That's a really big booming thing.
That's a huge thing. So you can't hardly turn around in this town without running into a co-working space.
Right.
And that doesn't happen if there's not people to go into it. So obviously something is going on there that's supporting that.
Let's see. Matt in Dublin, you're on the air. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
My comment was I do employee benefits, and obviously the labor shortage has created a war for talent. Last year, my small brokerage in Dublin placed 102 new employer-sponsored group health plans, 80% of which were in employers with under 20 employees. And I would say about 50% of that total were brand new health plans offering coverage for the first time. And about a third of that number were brand new startups. They were companies that didn't exist 6 or 12 months earlier. So that was a comment I just wanted to reinforce some of the things you guys said at the beginning of the program. And also a question kind of directed at Mike. It seems that we're in this labor shortage, but Mike had mentioned that he has a record number of people coming and seeking small business startup consulting, financing. And there seems to be a lot of momentum on new business startups. And my employee benefits practice is kind of seeing the same thing. And it almost seems like there's a disconnect. There's no labor, but yet we have tons, almost record number of people coming in and starting their own businesses. So I want to kind of get the panel's ideas on why that might be happening.
Mike Bowers?
Well, I know that one thing that we see is that individuals that are working for some of these larger organizations are pursuing self-employment or pursuing starting their own business because they are concerned about the fact that they could be downsized. And we're seeing that in our classes that we do. We have a number of people that come in and they've been downsized.
They're preemptively doing this.
Yeah. So they've either been downsized and they're showing up at the door, hey, I got to figure something out and this is a good time as any to do it. Or they're concerned about what could happen down the road. And that is one of the things that we're absolutely seeing in a lot of our classes.
Yeah. Ina?
I agree with Mike. I think also the economy has given people an opportunity to really think ahead. I think sometimes in a good economy, people are taking more chances in starting businesses. I think also to your point, when you were talking about co-working spaces and, at ECDI, we have a number of incubators where individuals can start a business for, in the past, we think, starting a business is very expensive. It doesn't have to be the case. For a very little amount of money, somebody could start a business and become successful.
Just depending on what they do.
Exactly.
And your caller says something that is really encouraging to me. It used to be that you didn't add health insurance until after 5 years of being in business. And the fact that they're doing it now obviously speaks to the sensitivity of the need to have good health care coverage.
Even after everything they've been through.
And so that's encouraging, but it also speaks to what we talked about earlier and the fact that you need to be competitive in your benefits. And it also speaks to a lot of the self-employed because a big, heavy burden on them and their families is, where am I going to get my health insurance coverage for myself and my family? So again, I think it comes back to that statistic tells me that health insurance is a big deal. And we still need to address it as a matter of public policy in terms of making it affordable. Second is that it's good that people are seeking it out early in the startup of their business. But I think that speaks to the fact that many of those are probably covering themselves
in their own doing it. Right.
And before you ran the risk and you waited 5 years, but I think in today's world that would be a not a very smart move. Speaking to financing, to Ina's point, the average startup small business doesn't need a big bank loan. Obviously, these two folks that are on your panel here do a wonderful job of helping folks find financing. But you know what a startup small business in Ohio really costs? $20,000.
That's right.
You know why it's $20,000? It's the max on two credit cards. That's how they start. I'm serious.
I've heard a lot about people using their credit cards.
And I would like to use some of our statistics. Like I said, we've done over $50 million in loans since 2004. And we finance the businesses ourselves, through various loan funds that we own or manage. But our average, we start at $750 and we go up to $350,000. Guess what our average loan is? $28,000. Yeah. So to your point, the statistics are showing that it does not cost a lot of money to start a business.
Now, there's a big risk still. I don't want to act like there's not a big risk.
But with organizations like ECDI,
and Michael's
let's
group,
be clear, majority of our clients are not bank eligible for loans, right? They come to us because we're looking at them from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. We're looking at character more than anything. We're also looking at, their credit scores, but not in the same way that the banks do. So what I'm saying is I'd rather give somebody a smaller loan in the beginning, have them prove themselves, and then give them another incremental loan. So I think, we're saying, I think we're all saying the same thing. It does not cost a lot of money to start a business, but what it does take is a lot of, work and a lot of commitment.
And I also think that when we look at the reason we're here today, this study, one of the questions I'd have is, I bet there's a big difference in certain communities. I mean, if you're talking about downtown Columbus, that is probably a little different than if you're talking about the suburbs of Franklin County, or if you're talking about certain neighborhoods. I mean, if you go into you know, Old Town East, or you go to down towards Marion Village, or you go to the near west side, the business community in those areas is small business.
But I mean, it's very vibrant.
And very vibrant.
Very
yeah. And growing.
You
and
know,
growing.
We came into the Old Town neighborhood back in early 2000s. I mean, probably 80% of the businesses there were not bank financeable. Yeah. And we came in and we actually put together a proud program where we helped individuals within those neighborhoods start businesses. About 80% of the businesses in the Old Town East are...
Yeah, if you go into Clintonville, I mean, it's dominated by small businesses. If you go down, down South Broad Street, the whole Marion, I mean, it's booming.
You know,
it's booming because of entrepreneurs down there.
I want to get to Sue now, a caller from Columbus. She's bringing up something I think fits in here. Sue, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So this was with regard to a comment made quite a while ago in the show. But with regard to the claim that small businesses aren't able to find workers, I wonder what the data reveals in the study that was produced about, for instance, white male-owned businesses and the homogeneity of their current employees.
How many of their employees look like them?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if it's a white male-owned business of their current employees, how many employ African-Americans? Or if it's a non-traditional business in the construction industry, how many employ women?
Yeah. Ina?
And you know what? It's Sue, right?
Yeah.
Sue, you're so right. And that's what we're trying to solve here at ECDI. You know, we have a women's business center. We have a program for minority contractors. You're correct. I mean, you know, when we see businesses, you know, we encourage all of the businesses that we help finance and start to hire people from within the neighborhoods to help diversify their employer pool and hire people who are low income, frankly, because, you know, our goal is to ensure that everybody has an opportunity in Central Ohio. Hmm. So I think it's tough, but, you know, I think we all have to encourage that, and we have to incentivize businesses to do
so. I want to at least put focus on one thing. The fastest growing part of the small business community.
Nationwide. You're talking about nationwide.
No, right here in Ohio. Okay. Right here in Ohio. Are women entrepreneur owners. Hmm. They are the fastest growing segment of the small business community today. Almost a quarter of all new startup businesses. Now you say, okay, well, it's just a quarter, but it was less than that. It was 10% just 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the fastest growing opportunities for women and other minorities is, quite frankly, in the small business community. Mm-hmm. That's their best opportunities.
But I think the caller's question was a little different because she wanted to know the startups the businesses are they hiring people from within their own?
And here's what I would react to that. You know, I deal with 22,000 members statewide.
Oh, 22. I've been chasing. Okay.
Several thousand here in Central Ohio. Our folks are looking for hardworking people.
There you go.
And they are not prejudiced. They are not gender biased. They are not. They want good quality people. They need it. They're desperate. I can guarantee you. Sure. Are there off examples of a bad actor out there? Absolutely. But that is not the face of small business.
Well,
the face of small business is, I need somebody who will come to work 2 days in a row on time, sober and drug free. That's who I'm looking for.
You're looking for reliable employees.
You're asking a lot, Roger. But you know, we're going to continue our conversation. Michael Bowers, hold that. Michael Bowers of Ohio Small Business Development Center at Columbus State Community College, and also Ina Kinney, founder and CEO of the Economic and Community Development Institute, and Roger Geiger of NFIB Ohio. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. We're talking about the challenges of small business in Central Ohio, or the state of small business in Central Ohio, in light of a new report from the Columbus Foundation that ranked Columbus last among 23 comparable U.S. cities in small company employment. Still with us, Vice President and Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses Ohio, with 22,000 members in the state, Roger Geiger. District Director of the Ohio Small Business Development Center at Columbus State Community College, Michael Bowers. And founder and CEO of the Economic and Community Development Institute, which makes small business loans, Ina Kinney. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Michael Bowers, I wanted to talk about what motivates people to be small business owners. Do they, what you know from what they tell you, and what matters most? Is it more about passion and following a passion, or is it about, hey, I want to get rich and I have a great idea and I know I can make a bundle?
With most small businesses, it is about pursuing a passion and being able to, at minimum, replace income. So if they are working someplace else, they want to be able to replace that. So a lot of them are basically creating their own job. Now, your high-tech businesses, that's a whole different ballgame, which they're talking about exits and things of that nature. So they probably want to be rich. But, you know, for most small businesses, it's about their passion. It's about what they want to do. And then making sure that they can survive and provide for their family.
And Ina Kinney, when you talk about loaning money to people, what do they have to tell you to convince you that it's worth loaning them money? So if they're following a passion and maybe it's not, I want to get rich.
Well, they need to have a business plan. That's one of the things that we do need. I mean, it's something that is required. And frankly, it gives a path to a business owner for the best success of their business. So a business plan, financials, we need to understand how their business is going to make money. You know, we need to look at the projections. And we work with our clients one-on-one in order to accomplish that, whether it's for a food-based business that uses our commercial kitchen, or whether it's a woman-owned business that uses our Women's Business Center. I'd say probably 80% of the individuals that come to ECDI do get some kind of financing. But it does take work and effort. Nobody's going to come in and say, I need $100,000, and we're just going to give it to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to show us that they're really serious about it, they have a good, viable business plan, and frankly, that they're going to be in it for a long time.
And that they can pay back the loans,
well,
bottom line,
that goes
right?
Without,
I mean, but beyond that, yeah.
You know, I think that a lot of what we're seeing is that when we're working with them to build their business plan so they can potentially build their business, maybe get financing or whatever, it's getting them a reality check that this is what it is. So, you know, it's not that, okay, you're going to be able to put on an employee every week and you're going to be able to do these types of things. This is what this business plan ultimately helps them build and grow this business. And one of the things I want to kind of mention, that one of the things I'm excited about, so we have this report, but probably by fall, the city of Columbus has actually embarked on a new study where they're directly speaking to small business owners, and they are looking to at diversity and inclusion in small business ownership in the city of Columbus.
Okay.
They are working with organizations like ours, with helping to actually do targeted work in some of the neighborhoods to try to get individuals that are interested in building a small business, maybe it's a side business or it's something, to actually help build some income for them. So there's a lot of efforts now through the city and through the county to actually do work directly within some of the underserved areas. And this report will actually be able to show what it's looking like in Columbus.
And you asked a great question, and I don't want to lose it, and that is, what motivates small business owners to get
in? Is it money, or is it
something else? And I mean, I mentioned earlier that if you don't inherit a business or purchase an existing business, you do it because it's a passion. And so small business owners who have invested everything and risked everything do it very passionately. They will not succeed if they aren't passionate about the good or service that they provide. Sure, it's human nature. We all think we are overworked and underpaid. And I would submit small business owners have that same attitude. So do people want to live comfortably? Absolutely. And we all have different standards of how we define that. But interestingly enough, most small business owners really want to provide a quality good or service to the public that they believe that they can do the best. because that's how they differentiate themselves from big business. We can do it better. We can do it quicker. We can give you customer service. That's how they define themselves, and they passionately put their heart into that as they deal with their customers. Second is they want to leave a legacy. I mean, America has always been about starting a business and turning it over to your children mm-hmm. and to your grandkids. And many, many businesses in this state and in this community are generational. Where in many cases, we have members that are, you know, over 100 years old in their fourth and fifth generations. That is part of America entrepreneurship, is to leave a legacy for your family. And so that drives them. Interestingly enough, if you ask most small business owners, do you want to be the next giant in your industry? And it might change. High tech might be a good example mm-hmm. of a little different reaction. But you know, there are not a lot of restaurant owners who want to be the next Wendy's. There are not a lot of small retailers who want to be the next L Brands. They are comfortable with where they are. Do they look for opportunities to incrementally expand? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But they aren't. Their vision isn't to become the next Fortune 500 company.
Okay. Eloise in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Eloise.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would have a question for Ina Kinney. I heard you mention you have a few business incubators and a women's business center, and I was just hoping to get a bit more understanding of what it is that you're doing with that. What does it mean to be a women's business center?
Well, ECDI has women's business centers. We have actually three in the state of Ohio, one in Columbus, one in Cincinnati, one in Cleveland. We know the women business owners have different challenges and experiences than their male counterparts. So what ECDI provides is one-on-one mentorships, technical assistance, and incubator where women can work and, you know, co-working space with other women. We provide also much-needed capital and support and ways for us to assist women in getting rid of barriers that they have traditionally seen in starting a business. To the point of other incubators, ECDI has a commercial kitchen in Columbus, Ohio. We actually started a food truck movement here about 10 years ago where if you think about a food-based client, what do they need? Somebody that's making a recipe, for instance, they can't do it out of their home and take that recipe to mass market. ECDI offers a facility where individuals can rent space, whether they're trying to create a product or whether it's a caterer that's trying to deliver a product or, frankly, food trucks and food-based entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So, you know, aside from providing the training and technical assistance, we provide incubation services and access to capital. We'd like to think of ourselves as a one-stop shop for entrepreneurship.
Okay. Thanks, Eloise, for that question. Wolf in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Wolf.
Hi, good afternoon. First off, I've been in the entrepreneurial space in Columbus for quite some time, and ECDI, SBDC, and those groups are some of the best resources I've found anywhere in the country for supporting small businesses and startups. Secondly, I want to point out that where the Columbus Foundation study is very accurate, and everything they say I trust because they're the experts at this. We have to look and say, okay, why are we so different than all of these comparable cities? And I think it comes down to a couple of factors. I'm sure there are many more beyond what I've seen. But I think one is that Columbus has become such a great test city market that a lot of larger businesses set up multiple locations here for their sixth or seventh location to get in. And that takes a lot of our entrepreneurs with that entrepreneurial spirit out of the startup ecosystem, because someone sees that they have great talent, they've got skills at building their own restaurant and their team, and they get involved. And then secondly, I think it's because with our thriving venture system, we're starting to see a lot of the startups that are going through OSU's Business Builders Club and whatnot going more towards that tech side instead of those bricks and mortars. Hmm. And also, I think the point about co-working is great. I've not seen anywhere which has a better co-working system than in Central Ohio. Hmm.
Well, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have a question or comment. We're talking about small business, what works, what doesn't. How do the tax changes affect the ability of small business businesses to succeed? There's the so-called pass-through entities that are such small businesses. They're maybe one or two people, a self-employed lawyer or something like that. They've gotten some pretty good tax breaks federally and in the state of Ohio in recent years. Do those kind of things make that much difference, Roger Geiger? I know it's something you've lobbied for.
Absolutely. I think it is a huge reason why we have seen this huge optimism in small business and entrepreneurship. Let me first make sure your listeners understand that most small businesses are LLCs. They're pass-through entities. That means their business tax is their income tax. So oftentimes when we talk about business tax reform, we're talking about the corporate tax reform,
right,
which is not where most small business owners are structured. They are structured as pass-through entities. So income tax reform and business income tax reform are very significant to almost 80% of small businesses in this state. So the federal reforms and the state reforms, I think, combined, did exactly what we've been talking about. They were huge shots in the arms to small business owners. It's on their business income. This is not about their personal income. This is their business income. So I think, this notion that they're all rich, I mean, the average small business owner takes home about $56,000 a year. So we're not talking about millionaires. They reinvest that in their business. They reinvest that in new inventory, new equipment, hiring people, and providing benefits. And so I think as a result of the tax reforms that both Ohio and nationally were done, I think created this optimism that we haven't seen. We do an optimism index that's gone back 50 years, and we've never seen it as high as it is today. And that is because these business owners are reinvesting it into their business.
Michael Bowers, do you think that those changes at the federal and state level regarding pass-through entities have had an impact on the numbers that are coming to you?
Yeah, I think where the numbers that are coming to us are coming from as it relates to the tax changes is kind of a rising tide type of thing. Mm. So it's the optimism that Roger talked about. Because, again, many of these are pass-through entities, and that's how it's set up. So maybe they're not hiring a ton of people, but they are able to keep a little bit more than they want. But it also has encouraged people to go out because they're seeing other people be successful.
Mm-hmm. And Ina Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, same thing. I think it's very encouraging for small businesses to get into the space right now. So and that's why, again, I feel very optimistic about our local economy in Central Ohio. And I know for a fact that, we've seen in the last year, uptick in our clients who are interested in starting and expanding their businesses.
We are that's all the time we have today. This obviously is a wide-ranging topic. I appreciate my guests so much. Michael Bowers, District Director of the Ohio Small Business Development Center at Columbus State Community College. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Certainly. Thank you.
Ina Kinney, founder and CEO of the Economic and Community Development Institute. By the way, we'll have a link to all of these organizations on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Ina Kinney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Anne. It was a pleasure being here.
And Roger Geiger, Vice President and Executive Director in Ohio of NFIB Ohio, a small business association. Roger, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
And thanks for highlighting small business.
And thanks, everybody, for your calls. Thank you for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.